Good morning, my Rabbi.
I when I was
a young child, so my Bubby used to sing a ditty about I love you, a bushel and a peck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... So we're up to our second bushel over here. Micro bishel, microwaves. The minimum shear for bishel, alternative bishel. Geothermal, microwave, and drying beef jerky. So we definitely have our work cut out for us. This is the book. You talk about writing the book on it. So
Rabbi has our full attention.
My father's sefer over here.
It just came out last...
No, it's out for a couple of years. The laws of cooking and warming food on Shabbat. I'm not sure what the Shabbat, but Shabbat.
Shabbat.
Well, I'll have to ask
if it was sponsored by the
Syrian community, right.
There you go. So I actually had a conversation with my father about the ins and outs of beef jerky, so that was also good. He didn't tell me which particular flavor he likes. But he did express
meat, right?
Very clear opinion about
the importance of being preparing 24 hours a day.
About preparing beef jerky and what he thought about the shilas that are not present. So let's get working over here. So the first thing that I want to do is, of course, what did Rav Chaim Shmulevitz once say? When you give a shiur and then after the shiur someone asks you a kasha and then the whole shiur goes down. And then after another week, you think about a teretz, so then it goes back. So you would see a shir v'kemelnish abgishlok. It's vetna longer and longer. Like, every time someone slugs up your shir and knocks it down, so then you think of a teretz, and now it just made it a longer shir because he asked the kasha on it now. Give a teretz. And that's really what Talmud Bavli is, if you think about it. Talmud Bavli is slugging up all the mishnayos, and then we put them back up again. So last week, we got to speak about some basic, very key shailas about bishul, but there's a whole part of the Maariv Makaribus which we partially didn't get to. And so that's why I like the first thing that I want to reference over here is we talked about micro bishul. What is micro bishul? What I meant was, what is the minimum shear of bishul? And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. So I want to just take a brief... skip through this very, very well-written, extremely well-researched, and very, very succinct article. And usually I don't like to go with what I call, I guess we're learning Bishul now, with a cliché-ny. I like to look at the cliché-ny, the earlier Maariv Makomos. But this fella, who wrote the sefer called Kovetz Yisrael HaShas, has such a wonderful tact.
Which article?
This is from last week. It's the last three pages from last week's shiur, and he has such a short and powerful presentation about key questions when it comes to the melacha of mevashel. So I want to look at that, and we're going to be ending off with this question. What is the din, and how do we look at it when a person starts cooking something, and then stops? Look at that? How does the Torah look at that? Okay, let's see. So, one thing we saw last week was the famous Bir Halacha in Shin Nun Ches, and it's based on the Rambam, that talks about all the faces of Bishul, and we had a very hard time figuring out, is there one guiding principle that tells us, that governs the admission into the Bishul Club, because you're hardening things, you're softening things, you're changing the way things taste or they feel, or you're not because you have water. Water is probably the most complicated of all of them. Then you got drying out wood. You have melting metal. It just seems like there's no end to what the goal, what the result of Bishul that Chazal, that the Torah accepts is. And so let's just take a look at what is going on with the melacha of Bishul. So the first question that everyone deals with is, Bishul, as we pointed out last week, is a long melacha. It doesn't happen instantaneously. And so the question is, so how is a person chayav for Bishul if he didn't really do it? Right? Unless you are, you know, we have what's it called? Superman has that the laser, the
X-ray,
not the X-ray vision.
Ah, the heat laser.
He
ray
from his eyes. So you could like the, you know, just, you know, like a dragon. Like you could actually cook it yourself. But as long as it's like some other force that's at work.
Shimon Bar Yochai is something perceived that.
Excellent. Shimon Bar Yochai. So that would be a question. Shimon Bar Yochai. Believe it or not, we cannot go without mentioning this. This is the segue. Ah, there you go. Right. So, but very good. So, before Superman came from Shimon Bar Yochai, but I want to tell you an unbelievable kasha that the Chida asks. The Chida wants to know the following thing. Rashi tells us when it comes to the month, Shatu Am Velaktu V'Tachanu Berechayim Oydachu B'Medoicha. Chal Yisrael, not the Parsha Mon that we read in Bishalach, but the Parsha Mon that's later on in Baal Yisrael. So it says that Chal Yisrael collected the Mon, and remember we saw in Parsha about Bishalach, Eishasher Tofu Eifu, Vasher Tvashlu Bashelu. Rashi says in Parsha Balacha that never ever happened. It was all in the mind. They never ground it. They never pounded it. They never cooked it. They never baked it. A person would think when he ate the Mon, right? And he would conjure up an image in his mind, a taste in his mind, and that's what he would taste. Black and white Rashi and Parsha Baloi, so that's what happened with the man. So so now...
They still complain.
Very good. So
whatever they want.
So the... So the Chida wants to know, well, if that's the case, so would it be mutter... Right, and we learn, we see that there are dinim like this. There are dinim like that. We're learning. This is how you get ready for Shabbos. So the Chida wants to know if a person in times of the midbar, right? So he has man, and he thinks on Shabbos, I want to have some cooked porridge, or I want to have some challah. So is that mutter on Shabbos? Are you allowed to think that way on Shabbos?
So Maisa, why not? Maisa.
What?
It's a child in the head. It's Machshava.
What? Why not?
It's Machshava.
Because you see, the Torah calls it.
Morocco's
Machshava. The Torah calls it. This is... exactly. Machshava is beautiful. Right? The Malachi is doing Machshava. So the Torah calls this cooking. So the Chida points this out. And I'll tell you something else that's related. The Rosh Hashanah wants to know, if a person would think to himself, cheeseburger is the over on Basar B'chav?
On the man?
On the man?
Yeah,
I'm alone. No. So he proves it can't be the over on Basar B'chav. Why can't it be the over on Basar B'chav? Because the Gemara says that taste is not everything, because Yalta of Rav Nachman's wife, says that for every usher thing there is to eat, so you're allowed to eat something mutter and your husband helps her out, but you want to eat the chal, you eat the udder of the cow, and that way you taste what basar b'chalav is, and it's really mutter, right? Because there's milk and meat in there, and the same thing is true if you want to have some chazer, so you eat the shibuta fish, which tastes like chazer. The Gemara mentions this also in Kedushin. So the Rosh Hashanah says it must be that just the taste itself is not really the iser. So then the question becomes, right, then the question becomes, so maybe that would answer the Chida's question of hey, you gotta do this, you gotta think this on Shabbos. One second, did it actually change it into the actual result? Okay, now we have to really know a little bit more about the mon, okay? Because let's say I thought something on the mon, right? So what happens is that you take from me and you eat it, right? Does it suddenly taste like what you wanted? If I was thinking hot pepper and you were thinking ice cream sundae, right? So do you put it in your mouth and you say blech, yeah. Or does it taste like one or the other? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the point is that, so when a person actually can fix the food,
interesting,
right?
When a person can actually fix the food himself, so is that bishul?
No.
Oh, so now let's look. The Chazon Ish says, this is brought down in Ois Beis on page Tav Tzadi Tes, that since on Shabbos, Melechus Machshavos Asra Torah, it's the last thing on the top, on page Tav Tzadi Tes, these guys here. V'kiva Shekeinu, Tzuras HaMalacha Chashav Malacha Gemura. You sometimes have an action that the Torah for certain purposes considers to be a full action. Case in point, in the Gemara, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, when I have the Av of Eish, Eish, the Torah says, Koyach Acher Me'urvay. There is another power involved in moving the Eish along to burn that which the person burns. So therefore, the Eish is not considered my own damage. Think about it for a second. There's Adam Hamazik. If I take a hammer and smash your car, that's Adam Hamazik. Mm-hmm. But if I set a fire and it burns your car, that's not Adam. That's Eish. Why? Because Koyach Acher Me'urvay, the wind moves it forward. Says Tosfos, but if I go over to your car with a blowtorch, that is Adam Hamazik. Because then, there's no other Koyach there. I'm actually doing it. So it switches over. So says the Chazon Ish, well, what is the din in the case of Zayreh? What is Zayreh? How does Zayreh work? I throw seeds up into the air, but how do they separate from the chaff?
The wind.
Say, isn't that Koyach Acher Me'urvay? That's my action, says the Chazon Ish. Yes, because the Torah has its own definition in each area of halacha. So in the halachas of Shabbos, so even in a case where you're taking advantage of another force that's going to happen and there's going to be a wind, the Torah calls that a complete malacha, even though it has a component which is not specifically tully in exactly what I did this second. I throw it up and hopefully a wind will come, and that's Zaira.
So you're saying Kavanah is actually important?
Of course Kavanah is important.
Because if you've got...
Which shul do you daven in?
No.
The smarty one.
That's a good one.
In the sense, if you put a fire under a car, the kavanah was to blow up the car.
No, but if I literally put a fire under a car, that's more than H. In other words, as long if I take the fire and I actually put it on the place that I want to burn, so in terms of the mazik, right, I'm actually totally chayv, l'mashal. Adam Hamazik, even Ba'inus. Even Ba'inus, he's chayav, right?
The Machshob is only relevant if it actually does the action.
Generally speaking, you can't be chayav on a hezek if you didn't damage.
I can't think I want to murder that fellow, and that's like murder, right?
Right. Machshob Ara, in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzarev from the Maisa with Jews, yeah.
That's so also with the man, it's like, unless it's actually changing the form.
Right, and there's also a lot of different ingredients because it's supernatural, right? The Gemara in the Rishami says that there's no davar asa that could come down from Shemayim.
Okay.
So how could it be that Hashem lets me think, oh, I wanted something cooked on Shabbos, and that itself is a malacha mevashel? So
it's not actually cooked, it's just your thought. It's not actually
cooked. That's okay, so this is a little bit of a sticky area.
It's cooked already.
Right, correct. Okay, so but do we hear this? You saw that the Chazon Ish is saying that the fact that Bishul, the whole template of what the action of Bishul is dependent on some outside force and a period of time during which the Malacha actually plays out. So the fact that you're including some other force to aid you, to assist you, to make the process happen till it actually cooks, says the Chazon Ish, that's one of the characteristics of Bishul, which differentiates it from other malachas. And here the Torah does recognize it as you, even though when it comes to other areas of halacha, right, not that way. So the marshal by other mamazik, as soon as you have another force there, it's not you anymore. Now it's we call it something else. It's called Eish. Whereas when you use the wind with Zer, this is such a classic contrast that the Chazon Ish draws. So therefore, the Torah considers it, that is how you do Zer, and Mimela, that's your malacha. Now, let's just look at a few more points that he brings in. Very beautiful key points, and really it's almost like each one of these points could be its own title of a shir. So let's look at the fourth to last line. We're now on the next page, Tuf Kuf 500. Okay, let's look at the fourth to last line on top over there on the right side. Uvegeder, do we all see that?
Yeah.
Uvegeder at elas and tzreches. And in terms of defining, what is the actual result?
That's your copy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Where are you?
I'll share with you. We'll share. No, we're good.
So now, what exactly is Shetehei Abishol Kdei Shetechosh and Velocha Me'at Torah? Near the Pligio Achrinin, the Shalosh Shitas. So, the Baal HaKovitz here says three, he identifies three Shitas. Listen to this. Listen to this amazing Rabbi Kiva Eger. You heard it here first. I learned Bishol, I remember years ago. I did not know from this Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Agaz and Shulchan Aruch says the following thing. Kasav Shetzarich Davka Tikun Hadavar. It has to be that Bishol actually fixes it. In what sense? Umehai Taima Kasav the Bishol Peros. If a person cooks peres shiruuyim lechol chayim that are actually ra'uy to eat when they are raw,
like an apple.
Asur, right, an apple, classic case, asur rak midrabanan, kivan she'enam mechusarim tikkun. What a bomb of a chiddush. That a person wants to make an apple cobbler. Yeah, it is, so that the, whatever it is, the apple, he bakes the apple, he cooks the apple. It's only asur midrabanan, midraisa, it's not a problem.
Because
in other words, it totally changes it. Maybe that's how I prefer it. I did something that's a tremendous tikkun, changes the food. This is how I like it. Maybe my dentures aren't so strong today, so I don't want to crunch into an apple. Whatever it is,
because
not a problem. Why? Because of the fact that etzem etzroy la'achila without this, the sefer would keep egger, tremendous chiddush that forget Bishol Akum. Exactly.
Right.
Forget Bishol Akum that has this together, but even when it comes to Melechus Bishol Daraisa and the fear of Akiva Eger, it would be beautiful that the idea of the Bishol Akum, it's sort of going along with what the definition of Bishol is on Shabbos. And that therefore, it's not considered a full tikkun. The Akadi Kavod, he says that on Shabbos, it's not a Daraisa. Tremendous Kiddush.
Raw vegetables too that are eaten.
Right. Okay.
Right. Then,
right. So the question is, I have a sheet that carrots are not edible raw.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think a lot of mothers argue with that, but I feel that's my sheet in life. I don't know in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. Let's see the next page. Tufkes Aleph. It's all on the same page for you. Beis Hasharat Tzion. This is the Mishnah Berurah at the bottom. Kasa. Oh, you don't have.
No, that's right. Rabbi, we'll share.
The who calls the abishal mashbiach es adavar says the bishop. No, as long as the bishal improves it, avavisha ainu misakna. Even though it doesn't change it over from being not edible to edible, well, the fees that cost the bishal peres chayav min hat toirah. V'rakusha ainu mishtabeach klal. It's only when a mamish does nothing ainu aser min hat toirah el midir abanan. However, that's the Mishnah Berurah in his note in Shaar Tzion and Shinu Ches, right? The classic Siman of Bishol. So that's what he says. Comes along the Prima Gadim and he's even more Machmir. The Prima Gadim also in the same place in the Mishnah Zav that's on the Taz says the Hu Kol Sharoitza as Shinu Hadavar. As long as you actually want this change to happen, Avagavsha Shinu the Greyasa. Even though Be'etza, most people would say survey says. This food tastes better like this or like that. No, it tastes dafka better before you got involved with the bishul. No. Like, I have personal preference. I don't know, like, I happen to have a soft spot for a good deli, right? So when people make deli roll, a lot of them are like, why'd you have to do that? Why'd you do that? Like, you just took a bunch of high calorie dough. I can have the homemade challah taste better. I can have the deli taste better. You made a whole concoction there. It's 16 times more calories. And it tastes better with added. So what did you even do? Says the Prima Gadim that if my wife asks me to put it into the oven on Shabbos and I do it, I can't say, no, but I didn't want it. It's ruining it. No. It's cool that you're over on no, okay, whatever. Obviously, there could be halachic points where you could argue, but the point is, it says the Mishnah Prima Gadim. What?
It's halachic shalom bias.
Okay, there you go. Kuch nefesh. Yeah. So the Prima Gadim says that this is how far it goes. So he's sort of the polar opposite of the Prima Gadim, who actually preceded Rabbi Kiva Eger. Prima Gadim was the same time as the Golden Gun. Kiva Eger was several decades later. So he says, no, it's all called Bishol, even the Raisa. Now, of course, we get to the question of water. Okay, so what does he say over here? Look at the paragraph right over there that starts with Tzarech. Okay, Mitzarech Levayer. You see what that is? It's about eight lines down on the left side. What's happening when you cook water? But we know clearly from the Gemara that water you're chayav for. But what do you mean? You don't have to cook water. So he didn't because the ish kasav the ms ain't shina beguf hamayim ella the zeo tikuna. He says something which I think is pretty obvious. It's the is those new clothes that the emperor has for himself. That what that really you have to say that there's a qualitative difference in bishul of mayim and everything else. That the shina is the temperature. That's why the classic case, you're heating up water enough to wash one aver of a child.
What's echos?
The quality. Right? So you didn't change the quality of the water, just made it hot. Right? So it actually does change it. It's able to, it's more of a solvent when it's hotter. Right? It feels different. So, and if you think about it, the case of the fact that the shear of mayim is enough to wash an aver katan of a child, it's not even for shtia. Think about that for a second. The shear is not an eating-based shear. It's a washing-based shear. Maybe, so that's why the Chazal say, because that's the smallest amount you're going to need. But the point we're saying is, what's the difference between cold water and hot water? It's just how it feels to the baby. It's not like the water now became like a different thing. Okay, so
it's pasteurized, let's say you got rid of the bacteria.
Very good. So wait till we get to the beef jerky when we'll talk about beef jerky. Okay.
It's just wetting our appetites.
Yeah.
There you go. But by the way, I was thinking of asking Ari. Yeah, instead of going to the bagel place. But the thing is that people start cursing you out afterwards when they realize that they're flesh for the day and they can't have a coffee. So like one of the occupational hazards, by the way, of making beef jerky at home. Can't have my coffee anymore. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So now.
Yeah.
So that's what the Chazon Ish says. V'chei matzinu b'ashar atzion anal pei mashma shar atzion anal shabir shachai b'shum shamashbicham ach yesh b'acham shabir shabishal hu loy b'chami musan el b'ripo yamayim v'shinu atzmusam. There are achorim he brings here, which is they're trying to cram it all into one. Who says this? The Igle Tau. That's very big. I'm looking at the notes. The Sherel HaMeshev v'yesh shal nuttons and the Maram Shik. Okay, so we have, and it's fascinating if you want to see a philosophical interpretation. Look in the notes. Brings from the Drushas Haran, the great Ran, one of the great Rishonim. I feel everyone. There's enough for everyone to have over here, by the way. This is on the page Tavkuf Aleph, which is the left side, and it's the right footnote column. Look at this amazing Drushas Haran. Says the Drushas Haran. This is the same Rabbeinu Nissen, who's in the back of the Gemara on the Rif, and he has Kedusha Haran. So he has Drushas, and during those Drushas, occasionally he lapses into Halacha. So let's look at about six lines from the bottom of this paragraph. Hamayim kishehuchmu v'kiblu tzuras hachoyim. Mayim which were heated up. Do we all see what this is?
Yeah.
Cafe, right?
Cafe.
No. Yes. No cafe, exactly. And they got the tzura, for lack of a better word, shape, but that's not what it means. Gam ki niskaru, once they were already heated up, but then they cooled off, yikablu achem shenis yoiser bekalas. They will get easier heated up. There's something that's changed about the molecular or the small structure. I would say I don't understand what Ron is talking about. I don't even understand. Like, if but
what?
I was listening to two computer geeks last night after Meyer talk about difficulties that they're having with the ish.com site because so many people log on to it through the NetSpark filter, which is very common for some people to have, and the filter is the hit. It's assaulting it 20 times a second. They're getting hit from NetSpark and it's messing up all their ads with the cash busters. I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, I said I used to think that I listened to people who are talking technology and I'm like a Baal Tshuva. Or an artist. I said, now I realize that I'm a Martian. I have no clue what you're talking about. So the Ron, I don't know what the Ron is talking about over here. I'm just saying that there are very, very inner working definitions of Bishop, which without doubt we can even understand.
No, you always boil up water before you use it for medical purposes.
So that, but we do know that. Now.
Try it.
Oh.
So what?
One second. Now let's look. I want to just see also some humdingers going on in the last page over here. And Rabbi said, I really feel like each one of these things could have a whole shiur about it, but the Tzurba only gave us a few weeks from Bishul. Right? So that we're going to have to cook this fast. Okay, let's look at page Tough Cook Base.
Crank up the heat.
Does everyone have that?
Yeah.
And this is literally what we advertised before, the micro Bishul. What micro Bishul? Look at these amazing midonim and halacha that you think they should be so obvious, clear, talked about in the Gemara, and it comes down to that. Why is the Chazon Ish the one who speaks this out? These are things that are so foundational for understanding the basic principle of Bishul. So let's just see this, and then we'll move on to the next part of our shiur. We're now on page Tuf Kuf Beis. No, it's in the same sheet. There are three of these.
It says cliche.
Okay. Okay, I have to ask Mechila from everyone. We really need what's called a stapler over here. Yeah, it's a literature version of the stapler. Yeah, okay, so now. Yeah.
Okay.
The stapler?
Yeah.
Cliche.
So now, v'hinei achazanish kasab shashir shemachal ben drusai, that we know is machlekes harishayim, whether it's half cooked or a third cooked. Rashi and the Rambam. Okay, nimdat. How do you measure the fraction? Rav Yashar once said in a certain terms of a certain halacha, you go by most of the city.
Right.
You're talking about when Shkia is most of the city. So Rabbi David Morgenstern is a big Talmud, MIT grad. So he said, I asked the Rav, you go by Rav, does that mean where most of the population of the city lives?
Geographically.
The geographic area? Most of the houses? He just threw out those three possibilities and had to determine Rav of a city. And Rabbi Yashar said to him, the truth is, I don't know, but you go after Rav. Amazing. Meaning that his Das Torah told him that the way we determine Shkia in this city is based on, you know, the topographical reality of most of the city that he has. And the question is, because you can't keep on zigging and zagging with Shkia from one place to the next based on the elevation, but how do we determine the Rav, where most people live, where most houses are, where the most area is? That I do not know. Okay, so here we have the Chazon Ish. And he brings up the most obvious thing. I always thought before I saw this Chazon Ish that what? That when you look at a food, it's a third. That's how we pass the Machal Ben Drusai. That means it's a third cooked.
Right.
Through the process.
Uh-huh.
But we'll listen to this clear. V'hinei Chazon Ish Kasav Shashir Shemachal Ben Drusai Ninda the Fishir Hazman Shel Avishol.
So if it takes 3 hours, then it's one.
Look at the cookbook.
Correct.
Cut it in three. Right. And whatever that time is.
Yeah.
Wow, Bam Bechidish. Ach Bekav Achayim, but Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, whose grandson was just nifter a couple of days ago. Rabbi Chaim, the classic sort of Sfardi Mishneh Berurah, what would you call that? Is that somewhat correct? It's written in the Tavnis of the Mishneh Berurah, the Kav Achayim. So he says, the Ninda the Fi Echaz HaBishol, he says the way I always thought when I was learning Bishol, that it goes by how cooked it is now, how long you spent cooking it. V'agrishol Yashav, Rabbi Yashav Zatzal, Hara. The Afa Chazon Ish, that even according to the Chazon Ish, in Achri Shlish or Chetzi Bishul Adain Ein De Roy La Achila, Aide Al Chak Ein Achayev. Comes the Rabbi Yashar and he softens the Chazon Ish. Even the Chazon Ish would hold that if after a third, it's mamish not really bechlal in the parsha of Bishul of edible, that even the Chazon Ish would be maida. Even it has to. Even if you go by a third of the time,
it
has to make enough of a dent that this is somewhat right.
It goes the other way too with the cholent. Let's say,
yeah.
If you put it up right for Shabbos, how much?
So the chazanish is a kula for the cholent. Yes,
right.
Yes. Now, So
I some people.
So now. This is what I wanted to get to, the very last paragraph over here. These things are also important, but let's just look at the where it says Vihine. Vihine is about six or seven lines down. And this is the last part that I want to look at over here. Vihine, and this is what we were calling, what happens with just doing a little bit of Bishul? What happens when you just cook something a little bit? How does the Torah look at that? Vihine, Dodo Achreina. Im HaMevashel Pachas Me'ashir. We have that?
Yeah.
Shechayov in the love Midin Bishul. Over al iser alay. Okay? You cook less than the shear that you're chayav midin bishul. Okay? Now, I just want to point out, this could be interpreted two ways. Let me clarify what he means over here. The bishul has a shear, how much you're cooking. If you cook less than the shear of mayim, it's less than the shear. That's one. But he doesn't mean that. He means you're starting to cook. Okay? So now, so says the Chazon Ish, are you oiva and an iser? Or not? The Rabbanon for sure it's aser. You're not allowed to put anything on the fire even for a second if it's going to get to the Yad Saletus place. But were you oiva and iser if you did it and you took it off? The right, does the Torah look at that as an iser? The Chazon Ish kasev the aser, the efshar the aser min haTorah. Wow. The kedin chati shir sha aser min haTorah. It's a chati shir. I mean, even though the difference is how much time it's there. The amount of time it spends on the fire itself is considered a chatzi shir, since the shir of bishul is kamachal ben drusai. So you do part of that in time, so the action that the heat is causing to happen to the food is called a chatzi shir, and it's aser min haTorah. Achva achreinim chalku. The ein ze gedah shel chatzi shir el chatzi melacha. The achiv mevashel hu atetzah shadaber mevushel.
Does that mean even a kosher is
an iser
when I say kosher, any
chatzis
that are any tiny bit of bishul would be iser d'oraisa? Is that what we're saying here? How do you define chatzis shir?
Yeah, I put something on the fire.
I put it on, take it off, chatzis d'oraisa?
For a minute.
Yeah. So you're not a chayav, but was that a Torah prohibition that
chetzi
you did part
shir
of? The Gemara has cases of lavan that I did. If I did it like this, I'm loika. But even before that, it's a misa d'oraisa. It's not a full misa d'oraisa. The Torah prohibits me to put it on, but I didn't do enough of them.
You don't get
malchus
for that?
If I eat half a kazayis of chazer, I was over a misa d'oraisa. The question is, it's not the shir, so even if we say chatzis shir asur Torah, I don't get malchus for it. So the question is, when I put the thing on the fire, so I started heating it up, is that a biblical prohibition? Of course it's asur d'rabbanan. In a full way. You're even a full asur d'rabbanan. But is that a chatzis shir visual? So the Chazon Ish says yes, and he's talking about starting to heat up metal, where if I heat up the metal totally, it could be bishul.
Yeah.
So he says that itself is asur d'rabbanan. Masha Enkin, look at who's arguing with him. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Igus Moshe, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, the Stipler's brother-in-law, all say, whoa, no. This is not a chatzis shir. It's something which doesn't even come into the category of the iser, because it never ended up being mispashal. It's one thing when you cook less than the amount. The amount that you're cooking is too small. So you did cooking, but but if it didn't end up being any cooking, so say the other achrayim against the Chazon Ish, that's not called a chatzis shir.
So
these are foundational machleks, and you'd expect this is a machleks in the Gemara. No, it's just between the Chazon Ish and his brother-in-law the Stifler.
This becomes a basic issue with microwaves, because a microwave, even sometimes 2 or 3 minutes, could be mishbashel, but it, let's say mishbashel is a certain portion of the roast, and the other portion
it's
is
still raw.
Right.
But microwave isn't cooking.
Well, we spoke about that yesterday.
We did.
Okay, so this will be dealt with. This will be dealt with in the first session. Excellent. This will be dealt with.
Maybe it is.
If you're not breathing in smoke, I really disagree with that.
That what?
What will they do with the whole thing?
Microwave can microwave's considered cooking.
It's not.
Last week they issued with Yes Apad. I was taking off the.
Okay, can we now go to if you don't mind?
Wow.
Let's go back to the. Okay, so this is from last week.
No fish.
It's the other guys.
Okay.
Which one?
Now we're on our new, the fresh, the unwrinkled. Everyone, please go for the unwrinkled.
Second portion.
That you have. And we have two of them here. One, there are two papers that you have that are the Am Mordechai, written by someone that I know pretty well, Yonah Shabbos. And then you have my printout over here, the second bushel of...
What page?
Yeah, so let's just start over here.
Okay.
Now, yeah, they're so they're alive.
Which one are we doing now?
This is the one that's
yes, this. Yes, the second bushel. By the way, I was noticing the fact that
second bushel's here.
Yeah.
That everything we're writing over here, minimum shear, Hilchos Shabbos, shear kafalah, it keeps on talking about shuls over here. We have a chabur, minimum shul for bishul, artener bishul, and shul. We have a shear and shul. Anyway, maybe I was tired when I thought of this. Okay. Right. Okay. So my family members know how to groan. My talmidim been known to walk out. I used to give a night chabur in one of these shiurs. I was Rebbe, and literally, like sometimes people would. Okay. So.
It's still early in the day. We're
okay, very good. You have the craft. So this is a long tshuva for Moshe. This is a long tshuva for Moshe Feinstein. They're looking here in Igros Moshe. And as my father said very beautifully, my father said, Moshe was the Gadol Hador, but a Navi he wasn't. Right? So this we're familiar with the with this piece of Igros Moshe from the Tzurba booklets.
Right.
That actually a very long quote over there. And you know, I remember hearing the story of a Yid who was having a difficult time with Yerushalmi. I think I might have said this over. He's Gemara Yerushalmi. How many people learn Yerushalmi? Okay. Right, and he was having a hard time of one of the Rosh Hashivas. And he remembered there's a Yid that he always used to see. An older man would come to shul for mincha. And he was always learning Yerushalmi. So he came over to him, and he said, "Rabbi, maybe you could help me with this Shavar Yerushalmi that I have." And the man straightens up and he smiles at him and he says, "I wish I could. Let me explain to you. I'm a professor of Semitic languages. So I spend time learning Talmud Yerushalmi just to get my Aramaic down. But I can't really explain to you the Pshat Yerushalmi."
That's a good line.
So
that's a good line.
Okay, so like if you look at the second page of this print that over here, and it's the third paragraph. So people who are chaykrim of the evolution of languages might look at the second paragraph, third paragraph rather. But in kain behamikrovave and wonder exactly. So what exactly is this word, right? The study of Rav Moshe Feinstein's spelling of
transliteration.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sometimes. The English words, I still remember.
But he still had Mikrogalis.
No, that actually that, that's actually the Bar Ilan that put that in. Yeah. Yes, I remember the when this really when I got actually when I actually suffered some social discomfort was when my Rebbe in 10th grade pulled a prank on me and he had me read a Moshe Feinstein from the inside, and he was talking about if one of the Reform rabbis. So he writes. In Rabbi May Reformer, and he wrote it Mem Reish Ayin Pei Aleph Reish Mud Mem. And he's like, "What's that word?" And I'm like, "My farmer, my referrer." Oh, May Reformer. Right? Yeah. So
we struggle with that daily.
Yeah, that's so true.
Anywhere okay, I can't read, I know it's English.
It's an English
word. Yeah,
there you go.
Sometimes
it's hard to understand. Yeah.
Inevitably, when Avgoldach Tzal would give chaburas to the American students, so whenever he used the word that he felt was like just totally next level, he would always ask, "Do we know what it means?" Almost inevitably, he thought it was next level because it was a Hebrew English word, and we all know exactly what it meant. Okay, so now he says, "says Rav Moshe, Rim Kain, according to what I've said till now, that the derech." Of bishul is the key thing. The key thing when it comes to bishul is it derech bishula, and this is ala the we had the Rav Elchanan and we had an Avnei Nezer that we had that talk about the fact that the tanoim of bishul are something which is reflective of how people practice bishul and not necessarily what the Torah is kaveh. Remember, we had an amazing chidushim Rav Elchanan Wasserman where he says. That the marshal he gave the halacha has certain exceptions for a C-section baby, says Rav Elchanan. Maybe nowadays the C-sections are actually performed on a somewhat routine basis. In his times, not, but they would actually do it. It wasn't like a last ditch in Hail Mary pass at the end of the Super Bowl where you cut a lady open because the baby's going to die. It's like you could actually do it. Maybe now there's no such din as that certain halachas we rule out We rule out. Well, that maybe is a little bit different, Petter, because that's a mamish Petter Reffin. But like, but he talked about. He talked about the. I'm trying to remember what his example was in Chavis Yirim. But I'll call upon him. In other cases like that, where you have a certain derech that you do something, and then it changes. People don't do it that way. Oh, he talked about. Remember, he talked about. He talked about. Hakavas ilanis. The Mishnah says in Kalayim that you put on another graft, you graft on a branch onto the tree, and said Rav Chanan, well, nowadays they take the sap from a tree and they can draw it out and they can inject it into another tree and that's how they graft. So he says, bye bye Mishnah and Kalayim, because now people do it differently. And the question is, one second, maybe that comes from a drasha. Does that mean that? Well, dresses go out the window. No, Rav Chanan says some dresses are only telling you it has to be the derech, but not that is a separate thing. So the question is over here. This is the foundational question about Bishul as well. The principles that the Torah gives about Bishul, are they because that's how the Torah defines the halacha and it's static and it's rigid and it can't change, or is it reflective of how people cook? So Rav Moshe posits over here throughout the tshuva, and he says, "Vim came by a microwave oven, shetoy levashal by kamoy be'esh mamish." Mm-hmm. That's, I think, mistake one.
Right.
You can mamish cook with it just like with fire. Ve'ilu she'ish lehem taner kazeh. Those people who have a microwave oven, mishtamshim bo yoyse mibishal de ve'ish. They use it even more.
That's true.
That's true. If you're a 12-year-old boy and you're heating up hot dogs, yeah. You know, so maybe. Yeah? Umasel in espasha tanur me'ilu adayin. The fact that these ovens aren't all over the place and the way to cook, umishun v'le matzeh adayin harbe tanurim. Because it's just not, the availability is lower. And then, but when they actually become available to everyone, everyone's going to use, that's going to be the new wave of cooking, as we have seen, is exactly not that way. It's better. You can for sure learn that the same way that you cook. By the way, always mispronounced. Ur, it's an Aramaic word, like ur kastim, right? And it means fire, not or. Bishul ur, the hayab b'mishkan b'chashivas tolda. Says in Mishnah 15, it will become the way to cook when you use microwaves. It's going to be an iser of skila and chatas. Even the Kiryas Sefer that has this story about how it has to be similar to the Mishkan, it's the same thing. Wow.
You would never get a chef saying that.
Wow.
No.
Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Milcha Shleima had a Rachman to print out the whole Milcha Shleima. But then Rav Shlomo Zalman that we saw, this is going to be Tereshma Pel. We saw it in the Tzurma book. What did Rav Shlomo Zalman say? That if you have an electric current way to produce Bishul, he was arguing with the Chazon Ish, and he said, that's not called Bishul D'Oraisa. Why? It's not called Bishul D'Oraisa because you need fire.
So
you need fire.
An electric stove wouldn't do it.
No, but an electric stove with a red hot heating element is fire.
Yeah,
Rav Shlomo Zalman was talking about a case where the current, the resistance to the current, with the way Rav Shlomo Zalman describes, I don't even know what that is exactly. Where you have a current flowing through the water, it really sounds like microwave.
It's radiation.
No, it's not.
It's
the way, if you look at it, Rav Shlomo Zalman describes.
Radiation.
Describes the
a microwave works purely by vibrating the water.
Okay, yeah, we'll get this. Okay, so now says the Am Mordechai. He so how does Rabbi Willig hold? Rabbi Willig holds like Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, I looked for it. He has certain rayas that are not in the two standard footnote. But let me just quote you the main part over here. What else does Rav Shlomo Zalman say? Let's look at the second page of the Am Mordechai over here, which is page Samaches. Ule'inyan Karban Pesach Siv. What does it say about the Karban Pesach of Yarn the Yoima? Beautiful story with Reb Chaim Kanievsky that when he would go to bake matzahs, okay, can you imagine his tumrus? He would ask the Rebbetzin for a bracha. Can you imagine? I wish I could have seen this. He would go to the Rebbetzin and say, please give me a bracha that it should come out mehudr and kosher. And listen to this beautiful thing. I remember I started to cry when I read this. That he would say to her, and L'chaim was so involved, his whole life was Torah. He would learn when he was asleep. He would make L'chaim when he got up from a nap, because he just finished a Masechta. This is L'chaim's life. The Rebbetzin said, my whole life he would be talking and learning. He would give me shir while he was sleeping. Wow. I used to sit next to him, and he would be talking and learning the whole time while he was sleeping. And she even knew to repeat. She would rattle off different, you know, expressions from Bavli and Yerushalmi that Rav Chaim was saying while he was asleep. So Rav Chaim said to her, almost to apologize, I feel bad I'm being mashiach to give me this bracha, but I wanted you to know that Be'ez Hashem Mashiach is going to come, and all these masses are tamei, we're not going to be able to use them. So what I really am hoping is that your bracha is not going to be mekuyim, because I want to be able to make matzahs to eat with the Korban Pesach. Beautiful. Okay? So the Korban Pesach, what does it say over there? Let's look at this paragraph. Siv, al toichlu mimenu na, you're instant to eat the Korban Pesach when it's raw, ubashal b'bushal b'mayim, or cooked with water. Ki im tzli eish. Rather, it must be roasted in fire, him came pashut. The tzloi b'cham apostle. So from here we understand that if you roasted it in the sun, it's pasul. The ain atzli eish, the ain raya, the bishul b'chama ain a bishul, because
it says tzli eish, it's no
eish.
Exactly.
Right.
V'ula yesh loymer demiloshen eish. The fact that the Torah uses the word eish lemaiden the kavanas bashel mevushel b'mayim. He wrapped b'mayim shavuchemu ayidei eish. That havdal yichidi ben tzli lebein bishul who hamayim. What's the difference between roasting and cooking? Water. Do you have the medium of water? So the same way that roasting must be what, not in the sun but with eish, so too the water also with eish. Uveshneim achoyim ba'ay the eish dafka when king zeres hakasavi shebishul v'chama ein a bishul v'dag. Says Rabbi Willard, this is he's fleshing out Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's raya that you see the Torah refers to preparing food with eish. And therefore, that is the foundational requirement for bishul is eish, the raisa. I want to point out something, which I think that maybe Rav Ari Ginsburg was talking about a couple weeks ago, and everyone's met, we have scientists here, Baruch Hashem, we understand, even I'm not a scientist, but the basic principle of the waves, the microwave, it sort of causes the water molecules in the food to vibrate.
Right,
if I'm not mistaken, yeah, and that picks the temperature up in a tremendous way. Who's the basketball player who was like a major playmaker? They used to call him microwave. I forgot to look it up. There was a certain microwave. Why do they call him microwave? Because he gets on the court and in 3 seconds, right? There's a basket. So his nickname was microwave. Okay. I guess now if people
get the reference, Google will get you there.
There you go. Or maybe even a couple seconds because it's faster, right? Okay, the microwave. So, something with a V maybe. Okay, so now, when we publish the shiur, that's only going to be a footnote.
Vinny Johnson.
Ah, I know Vinny Johnson. Excellent. Okay. With a V.
I don't know.
Vinny Microwave Johnson.
That?
Yeah, what?
You remember that? Vinny Johnson.
I'm Chinese. So, but those were the days when the microwave was a novelty, so people would use that expression as something fast.
Boston.
Okay, so now. So listen to what I want to say, though. I want to add something. Another reason, I think this is posh, but I don't see that anyone says it. Another reason why a microwave, you take up Shlomo Zalman's understanding, there's something else going on which I feel is so important. And we all know this. I'm just trying to sharpen the idea. When I cook with an alternative heat source, like the sun, I'm heating it up with the sun, and that's not good enough. Bishul b'chama is mutar lechatchila. You're allowed to put something in the sun. That, even though the sun is fire, okay, that's a separate shot, but that's not cool. That we don't call that fire.
And even if it's helped by concentrating the sun.
Okay. So that's another thing.
That's right.
Sorry. We're talking about the sky. The skyscraper in London. Right. Convex and the concave. Right. Talked about that.
Yeah.
So now listen to this. The whole idea of cooking with a microwave is qualitatively different than any other form of bishul, even bishul b'chama l'chayra. Why? There is no heat in a microwave. The only thing that's hot in a microwave oven is the food.
Right.
It's not like you're applying a source of heat to the food and the heat is conducted into the food and heats it up. The wave, which is perfectly harmless when it flies through the air, when it's applied to the food, causes the food to be hot mineu bay. From within the food itself, the water heats up, and that's how it's special. So that's completely different, meaning that Shlomo Zalman's point here is even stronger, because not only is there no eish, No. And Rabbi Yishmael says, okay, so we have another heat source. We have something else. It says Rabbi Yishmael Zalman is even more than that. Or it says, there's no heat that we're using over here. We're causing the food to become heated up. Mineu bei. Suddenly, it's self-destructing. It's self-cooking. So that's not, that's bechlal.
Not bishul?
What?
It would not be considered bishul.
So that's what Rabbi Yishmael Zalman deraisa to say that a microwave is bishul deraisa. Rabbi Yishmael Zalman, no. But the junior rabbi Willie is adding this nekuda that you're not even applying, and the mice, I even thought, if you think about it for a second, in many ways it's similar to chama, to bishul b'chama. Why? Think about how it works.
It's internal.
When I walk in the sun, okay, I'm doing all right. I walk into the car. Oh, Hashem should bless me. Yeah. Right? I still remember seeing once the recipe for dashboard cookies.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mamish like that. Yeah. Dashboard cookies. What happens? As soon as sun hits something, it starts to absorb the heat of the sun, and it builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up. But when it's flying through the air where there's relatively little, the photons and the light and the particles and the wave, it is not that much getting in the way. So the air is not so hot. So in a certain way, there's a similarity scientifically between bishul v'chama and microwave. Because the sun has waves, light waves. And it also is heating the world. We know it heats the world. But you have to ask a geological scientist over here or I don't even know what kind of science. Why is that the temperature near the... I'll say better than this. Higher up in the atmosphere, it gets colder. I get closer to the sun. There's less going on in the atmosphere. It's much thinner.
Right.
In outer space, it's freezing.
Because it's not trapping.
So I just wonder, maybe the fact that the weather is like this really is a two-step stage, meaning that the sunlight is heating the earth,
and then the
atmosphere immediately above the crust of the earth is warmer. In other words, and I know when the sun hits me, it warms me up because I'm a person. I'm a solid object. But how is the air around me a certain temperature? Is it because the sun is actually heating the air through traveling through it? Or is it because it's hitting the solid ground and then the ground heats up the air around it? That would be very, very similar to what? To the microwave. Meaning that the microwave is just traveling through the air, is doing nothing. As soon as it hits something they can bite into, suddenly the water molecules are vibrating their heads off, and then we're going to have a food that cooks. So that's actually softening my point a little bit. Because I was saying that this is a totally new way of doing things. But maybe the Torah says that, yeah, bishul b'chama is not bishul, but maybe it's sort of synonymous or similar to the way the microwave is working, that the whole time the sunlight's traveling through the air, it's not cooking anything. It's only when it hits a solid object that it starts heating it up. Efshar, it could be. But this, I feel that this is a completely different way of bishul. Finally, to the last course, we're over waiting for the beef jerky. Right. Everything now is the first spice. Let's just look a little bit at what I copied from two different Maariv Mekoymos. I didn't write it b'shem Oimro because if I copy from a Christian, right, is maybe Gulul Olam, is that like their Mashiach? Who comes exactly? So I have two beef jerky articles over here that I took excerpts from. I love making beef jerky. Okay, Omar Garrett Wade. Yeah, let's just give him a name. I love making beef jerky.
Omar Dunbar Bishema.
There you go. I started making jerky by using Alton Brown's recipe. See, he's also being Omar Dunbar Bishema. But I found his jerky making apparatus to be lacking in a few key areas. So I put together my own jerky making setup. I use a modified food dehydrator for making my jerky. Now, food dehydrators, generally, the temperatures run from like 140 to 175. And the reason that they do that is because there's a health issue with bacteria. In other words, really, you could dry the meat out at a lower temperature. The problem is that just for health reasons, there's an idea of getting the meat to a certain temperature for a long enough time to actually wipe out the bacteria. So I use a modified food dehydrator for making my jerky. I prefer using a food dehydrator because it's easy to clean, efficient at circulating air, and easily adjustable to accommodate larger or smaller batches of meat. Jerky is supposed to be air-dried with no heat. Drying with no heat required modification of my dehydrator. What did he do? He disabled the heating elements. So he actually used the meat dryer right? Just without the heat. Just as a way of circulating the air with a fan,
right,
and actually drying the meat out that way. Okay? Because I was talking to Rabbi Willig and I was asking him about beef jerky. So, you know what he said? I said it's a cool the dryer, but lemaisa, it goes to the outside lettuce plant. Right? So he says, that's cooking. There's not even a shot. The shot doesn't even start.
And it's already cooked.
It's, yeah, it's cooked, it's called cooking. That's, you know, that's don't we call it, culinarily speaking, we call it drying. We would have said lahadam.
Right.
There's
and
no
the
such thing. This is cooking.
It's already cooked.
What? When you cook? It's only raw meat.
Oh, raw meat?
Yeah, that's how you make it.
Oh, welcome to the real world. One second. I don't make beef jerky.
You can dry, like, that's preserving meat. Right?
Now let's look at the next. Let's look at the next one. This is Givaldic. I mentioned this to my father also, and then I found that someone does it. And I guess this is how it used to be. I have made this jerky using Las Vegas's summer sun by just hanging the meat on a clothesline, Rabbi Isai. But this requires a day that starts out over 90 degrees Fahrenheit and reaches above 130 during the day. The stakes are high in Vegas. Basically, a day that's too hot for the flies to come out. This process takes about 8 to 12 hours on a 100 degree plus sun. So it's only viable in select areas of the country and on specific days. So I asked my Abba, so then if I would use this system to make beef jerky, he's like 100% it's Bishop Bachama Mutil Khachila and Shabbos.
Kali Bishol, isn't it initial Kali Bishol that would be Asar?
What, because it's so thinly sliced?
Yeah.
You don't see that the Torah says about every single thing that's... You see some Achrenim say it about Tavlinim, that the Gemara says, B'dachka, that Tavlin is not Kali Bishol. Not! So some of the Poskim and Achrenim say, but that's only when it's a chunk. But when you grind it down, then it could be called Kali Bishol. But the Gemara Dafka says it's not Kali Bishol. So maybe, but I don't recall, the Gemara even talks about salt and says that you need to cook it like you cook meat of a cow. So it sounds like meat is hard to cook.
Is this really even bishul? All you're doing is drying out the meat.
100%. So Jonathan would say, that it's maybe, even if it's kali bishul, it's not bishul. Whatever you do with the sunlight is not bishul. Not bishul. I did not get a chance to research what we discussed a few weeks ago, what happens when the sunlight becomes intensified, right? So the chayra, so if it's through a glass or reflective, we were talking about a concave building, and it started in England and London. Literally, people were frying on the sidewalk
in the car,
right? But the car, it's an oven that's toldos chama. The dashboard, that's toldos chama.
The dashboard,
and the chama itself means that. Also, I just want to point something out. It can get dangerous when you hang the beef out there if it's on a surface that also has sun exposure and that surface becomes hot.
You're going to singe yourself.
So, no, right, but I just mean, let's say you put
that's
it on a metal surface in the Las Vegas sun.
Yeah, that's why.
Right?
That's
or in the Dead Sea in the middle of the summer. And the metal plate that you put it on, it also has sun exposure, and it's toldos chama.
Well, that's cooking.
So you have a problem. Look, I'm just saying that even though it's getting direct chama, it's also getting toldos chama. So you have to make sure that it's on the surface, which is not heating it up from the surface.
Right.
Rather, it's only from the sun itself.
Hanging it from a ceiling fan or so, whatever.
Right, okay.
Or
the clothesline.
Right, clothesline.
Or let's say a cannibal, like, you know, with hummus.
You can't have a metal clip
holding
it in place.
Oh, very good. So I really said, Mikan Yisab Sak, a jerky dryer on Shabbos is Bishul Doraisa, but making a jerky on Shabbos is Mutter Lechachila, put it in the sun, Vegas sun. Ask your local Orthodox or unorthodox health care professional whether it's safe to consume, but you can make beef jerky on Shabbos. And even though we have, like, Lamashla, we have other malachas that are similar, kavush is like mevushal, and on Shabbos there's also me'abed, which is like so tanning. So the halacha is you're not supposed to pickle things on Shabbos because, and even the salt vegetables, that's supposed to salt vegetables on Shabbos because it's like tanning it. So we didn't get to that yet. So the point is, I was wondering, you put spice on this thing to draw out the moisture and to add flavor. So I said, could we come up with some kind of issur? He said no, because there's no such thing as adding spice, exposing it to heat, as long as it's heat from the sun. So we have a heter, you can put it up wherever you like, but just make sure that everyone knows the rules. dry meat in the sun, as long as you have the doctor okay, so you have Rabbi Willis halachic okay.
That's a good.
No, it had all dehydrators had heat. This guy, I didn't. This guy literally took. He disabled the heat element because he held. You have to let it give it more time and just let the air do its work.
Right. Is there any sort of drying clothing in the heat? No, it's a different malacha.
The only issue of hanging clothing out is that it looks. It's a maris ayin that you did laundry on Shabbos. Because of laundry. Yeah, it's not a problem at all.
No, it's just science is a problem.
Yes. It's no, sorry,
but you didn't do it. You don't do.
But you're saying good that when it comes to, it's putting in the, let's say you take wet clothes and put it in the dryer, right? And it ends up actually heating the water so that it evaporates. That's a good shadow because maybe it's like putting Eitzim on the oven to dry them out. So the Mishnah Berurah brings you. They used to do that in the old days in Radin. They needed to heat up their houses, so they had a piece of firewood, but it was too moist. So you put the firewood itself on top of the oven and let it dry out, and then use it as fuel. Mishnah Berurah says if you could be over in Bishul Doraisa by doing that on Shabbos.
I'm saying so if it's an issue of chashad or of marasai, it'll be the same issue here. I mean, hanging it up on a clothesline, clearly you're putting meat out. There's no issue of like marasai in there.
But it's mutter. What's the next thing? That's ain't derech Bishul Lebekach. And if we're saying this yisoy that sunlight can never be at. This is a good question. What would Rav Moshe Feinstein say? So Levi Aimerly, that maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein would say that if suddenly the whole world goes off electricity and everyone starts cooking in the sun, so maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein would say that it became us or now.
Or how about putting it? If it's not Shabbos day, because it looks like it's okay. Halachically, it's okay to cook, but it's not.
My father, he said the dryers are bishul deraisa. And the sunlight is heter gomer. neither shaila even starts.
Do you remember the kosher switch that they came out with?
The non-kosher switch?
To turn on a light?
Yeah.
Halachically, according to that thing, every halacha was acceptable. Why don't we use it? Because it was deemed like it's not efficient. Because it looks like you're turning on a light, even though you're 100% doing it.
Right.
You're putting meat out, it looks like you're cooking, even though you're not cooking. It looks like you're cooking. Right. So what? It's mutter, just like
right.
The switch.
No, but here it's mamish the sun. And it's not pshat that you have a switch. What is that? What kind of switch is it? Here it's in the sun. What are you doing? You can't avoid seeing that the food preparation that's going on when you have beef jerky drying in the sun is using the sun. You don't miss that part because you're watching it. The only reason you even think any food prep is going on is because it's drying in the sun. So built in is what's called shavar b'tzila. Built in is that you see that it's a different heating process than regular bishul. So you can't. It's not something you can miss. Whereas a switch, which switches it, or a phone. Does it have the highest filter on? This I can't access YouTube. It has the highest filter. But unfortunately, you can't tell. I wish you could tell. And then they have fake ones that people would make. Whatever. I call upon him. So these are a few highlights. But think about the Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, the tremendous sugya that we're learning of Bishul. We have this chus to just literally take a little bit of a taste of the sugya of Bishul. So let's just chazer over a couple of main points that we made. First of all, we learned a tremendous amount of headlines of halachas that we barely even got a chance to really go into about Bishul from this wonderful summary in the Kovis Yisodos HaShas, including what is the tikkun of Bishul, is there such a thing as Chatzis Shir by Bishul, so foundational, is there such a thing Chatzinish against many of his contemporaries and later Achronim, that he says it's Aser. Just begin to start heating something up, and everyone else says that's not it's mitrabana, but that not the raisa. Chazan says it's also the raisa of chatzishir, and then we went into the question of what is the role of the Torah's kpeda that you need to use classic fire as opposed to bishul b'chama. So we brought the Rav Moshe that's totally in the derech, and that totally changed. And we explained that that's similar to Rabbi Chanan and the Eglital. And then we had Rabbi Shlomo Zalman standing Kichoyme Betzura and saying, no, but the Torah says it has to be Eish. And he alludes to a riot from Karban Pesach, which my father fleshed out and said, the Pasuk says it's Tzli Eish, so Bishul is also Bishul Be'Eish. How do I know? Because the difference between that Pasuk, between Tzli Eish and Bishul, is Bashal Mevishul B'Mayim in between the Eish and the meat. So you see that Bishul requires Eish. And the nafkamina of that, for all the newfangled cooking apparatuses that we have, and finally going down to the microwave where we claim there's another soidistic thing going on where there's not even a heat source in the microwave. The whole idea is the vibrations caused in the water molecules of the food by those microwaves, that's where the heat starts from. It's not coming from outside in, it's coming from inside and out. And then we've speculated that perhaps that's even a little bit similar to Bishul B'chama, which I'm still looking for input from the scientists over here. And we speculated that maybe even the fact that we have warm air around us is a rebound from the ground as opposed to the air actually being heated up. Maybe the air is not providing enough resistance to the rays of the sun in order to create a high temperature, just like in space there isn't. And finally, we ended off with beef jerky. That's the what we come out with, we actually bite into from the shear, is that the beef jerky is usher d'oraisa to make on Shabbos if you use the classic dryer, and mutar l'chatchila if you do it in the sun. Okay, but Be'ez Hashem, now that you finish hearing from the son, you're going to hear from the father. That's actually not next Thursday, but the Thursday afterwards. So it'll be in the middle of Shabbat, because I hope I make it. That's Hashem. And we sent out that invitation. We're hoping see everyone there. Just I want to point out to you, it's the middle of this shopping area in Betz, literally up the block over here. Yeah. So it's an experience. There are no table. Nowadays, even here in Eretz Yisrael, they start having tables for everyone and reserved for this family. This is just going to be one big shtiebel, I think.